This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. God, we give you thanks that you are God and God alone. That with all the cares and concerns of the world thrown at us, we don't have to worry about how we'll make it through. We don't have to worry about victory. Because it's already secured, it's already won by your power. God, we thank you for being our God, calling and choosing us to be your children. And when everything seems to be going bad in our lives, we thank you that your word promises us that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Lord, we love you. We love you. And we thank you for your steadfast love that endures forever. We thank you for your steadfast love that has been promised to us down through the generations. And so we're grateful to be counted in that number of those you love, those you care for, those you protect, those you bless, those you provide for. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for how you are. Continue to shape us, dear God, to look more and more like you each day, to truly be your image in this world. Bless us to be blessings everywhere we go. Bless our families, bless our communities, bless our nation, bless your world. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Hear these words from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, beginning with verse 4. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Holy God, we give you thanks for the blessing of this day. We give you thanks that you always have our peace and prosperity in mind. You always want what's best for us. And because of that, you have given us your laws to help us live well. You have given us your word to help us live well. Bless, Lord God, this word, that it might be a blessing for your people. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. These closing words of our Pledge of Allegiance regularly haunt me. We are not one nation. We are of divided minds on everything from recycling to reproductive rights to religion. If we were honest, we'd have to admit that we are not under God and never have been. One of the questions we are tasked to wrestle with as ministry candidates is, what does it mean to say Jesus Christ is Lord? What does it mean to be under God's control? Truth is, some of us allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of our lives on Sunday, but not on Monday or Friday. Some of us allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives on Sunday, but only before kickoff. I know I'm meddling. Some of us allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of our family life, but not our work life. God, you can protect my kids, but let me manage my time and my money. Just as we don't always submit to Jesus as Lord or trust God to be God, neither did those who wrote the words, "One nation, under God, with liberty and justice for all." We are not one nation. We are not always under God. And because of that, we don't experience liberty and justice for all. All. This month, as we journey toward the elections, this month as we recognize Domestic Violence Awareness Month, this month as we stand with those fighting breast cancer, the preaching theme will be liberty and justice for all. Each Sunday, we'll explore God's call on our lives to be peacemakers and liberators, to be sources of healing and hope, to be people who tip the scales of justice in the right direction. Friends, I believe we can honor a separation of church and state while also honoring the fact that God was and is concerned about the state of the world. God, who sits high and looks low, is not just concerned with our spirits, with our salvation, but cares about everything that impacts our lives and spirits here on earth. God's desire is shalom, the total wellness of all people. God cares about those who are hungry, those who don't have homes, those without adequate health care or any health care. God cares about those living in poverty, whether we're talking about physical poverty or poverty of their minds. I say it all the time that God's concern has always been for the children of God, for the whole community. And as we, the church, the children of God, are blessed, we are called to bless others. That's what God is telling the children of Israel in Jeremiah 29 while they are in exile. They aren't even in their own community, but God is still calling them to take care of it. Increase in number there, do not decrease. And also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, for if it prospers, you too will prosper. If the city prospers, you too will prosper. If these kids running the streets of your neighborhood have enough to eat, that's good for them and for you. If folks are paid a living wage and don't have to work 2 and 3 jobs, that's good for them and it's good for you. If people are medically well, can go to a doctor or dentist just like you do, that's just plain good. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Some translations say the welfare of the city. If the city is doing good, you'll be doing good too. So pray for it, God says. And we know as Christians that we are called to pray in word and deed. We're called to pray with our hands and our feet. We're called to pray with our mouths and with our movement in the world. Every time we help someone, every time we serve someone, that's a prayer, even an answered prayer. And that's what one nation under God looks like. Friends, even though it sells advertisements and it keeps the news channels busy, it is not God's will that we be divided. It is not God's will that there be haves and have-nots. It's not God's will that some would constantly suffer for the sake of someone else's comfort. When I thought about those who upset God's economy by always taking, always oppressing others, a moment came to mind from the play, A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry. If you're not familiar with the story, it's a family drama set on the south side of Chicago in the 1950s. The family is struggling after the death of the father, but because of that death, they now have an insurance settlement that will help them buy a home in a new neighborhood. A new neighborhood that isn't trying to have them as neighbors. The play is nearly 70 years old, but these issues of affordable housing and redlining and gentrification ought to sound familiar today. Liberty and justice for all. The more things change, the more they stay the same. At some point, the son, Walter Lee, tries to flip the money. He tries to multiply the money by investing in a friend's quote-unquote plan. Of course, he loses the money. He loses their opportunity for a better life. And this monologue is how he explained what happened to his mother. Mama, you know it's all divided up, life is, sure enough, between the takers and the tookers. And I figured it out finally, yeah, some of us always get taken. People like Willie Harris, they don't never get taken. And you know what the rest of us do? Because we all mixed up bad. We get to looking around for the right and the wrong, and we worry about it and cry about it and stay up nights trying to figure out about the wrong and the right of things all the time and all the time. Man, them takers is out there operating, just taking and taking. Friends, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Takers are still out here operating, just taking and taking. And this, my friends, is not the will of God. The will of God is that we would all prosper. The will of God is that there would be liberty and justice for all. The will of God is that you and I would neither be takers nor taken. The will of God is that you and I would live lives that liberate others. We are called to live lives that liberate others. And to make sure we knew how to do that, God gave us the law. We don't have to struggle with the right and the wrong of things like Walter Lee, because God gave us the law. The psalmist said it this way, "Hide your word in my heart, O Lord, so that I will not sin against you." And let's take a quick commercial break. I know you ain't trying to hear a Ten Commandments sermon today. And that's how I felt when I saw the scripture on our calendar of reading. I know it seems contradictory that the law of God would be the source of liberty. Because for some, the law seems like an obligation, a restriction, a burden. But as cliche as it sounds, the law is designed to keep us safe. God's law is designed with our liberty in mind. Because liberty also has its limits. Freedom has its limits. A fish is free to swim the shallow banks of a river or the depths of the ocean. A fish is not free to swim on dry land. Freedom has its limits. We are free to climb the highest mountains, to explore desert canyons, to walk God's wide open fields. But if we try to walk on water, we might have less success than Peter. Freedom has its limits. And the laws that God laid out in Exodus 20 give us some limits so that we can all enjoy our freedom. The law he gave through Moses said, don't worship any other gods. Don't make for yourself idols. In other words, stay focused on me, God says. If you stay focused on me, if you prioritize me, even over yourself, that will be better for everyone. Don't misuse my name. Don't forget to worship me. Spend some time with me. Rest with me on the Sabbath. Have you ever noticed how some laws are easier to follow than others? I mean, personally, I don't steal, and I feel pretty decent about that. But I have been known to speak. Some of us don't murder, but we've been known to slaughter the Sabbath every week and not keep it holy. But there's some laws we just don't value as much as others. But God did not prioritize the list, friends. Resting and worshiping on the Sabbath was important enough to make the Big Ten. It's not a freebie. It's not the throwaway question on the quiz. It's not the one commandment that's not really a big deal. The Lord has a word for us in John 15, verse 5. Those of us who are too busy to rest, to those of us who are too driven, too ambitious, those of us who have too many responsibilities to stop and spend some Sabbath time with God, to us Christ says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing, Christ says. Y'all are going to make a mess of things if you don't stay connected with God, starting with the Sabbath. And the Lord says, I know you're not trying to make a mess. You want to be blessed, so I'll tell you what to do. Honor your father and mother so that you will live a long life. That's the first and only commandment that comes with a promise. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why it's worth doing. I can't tell you it's worth contemplating why God connected the promise of long life to those who gave us life. Honor your father and mother so that you will live a long life. And God says, I don't want you to just live a long time, a long life. I want you to live well. So here's what you need to do. Don't kill anyone. Don't commit adultery. Don't take what's not yours. Don't lie on people. And don't desire or covet your neighbor's things. Have you ever noticed how some laws are easier to follow than others? You might not steal, but comparison is the thief of joy. And comparison is at the root of coveting. It's so easy to see someone's handbag or house or husband and want it too. It's so easy to see someone's season tickets or souped up truck or souped up spouse and want it too. Through Jeremiah, God simply says, don't do that. Don't do that. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. In other words, focus on what I've called you to do. Tend the seed I've blessed you with. Build with the gifts I've given you. God says, don't covet. Instead, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and daughters so that they will have kids too. Increase in number, do not decrease. Keep growing, God says. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And while you're producing for you and yours, don't forget about the people around you. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And it will prosper. It will be liberated if you can remember that there is liberty in the law. The good news is God knows it won't be easy for us to keep the law. And Jesus told us, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. He's come to help us keep the law that we never could keep on our own. He's come to help us live lives that liberate others. Another of our key verses for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 18, tells us that we are being transformed into Christ's image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In other words, we're being transformed into law-abiding citizens with the help of our Lord who came to fulfill the law. Friends, it's like a lifelong ride-along. You know how folks ride along with police officers to learn from them? It's as if the Spirit of the Lord is on a ride along with each and every one of us. Every day is training day as we're being transformed into Christ's image. Verse 17 tells us that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Freedom. We all want the gift of freedom Christ gives. We all want to be free from pain and suffering, free from sin, free from worry. We all want to be free from doubt and debt and troubles and trials. We want our freedom, and yet there are limits. My high school government teacher had a sign up in the classroom that said, "The right to swing your fist ends where the next person's nose begins." Friends, I wonder if there's anything about our freedom, our lifestyle, our habits, our choices that would make another person a captive. I wonder, are we good neighbors, good landlords, good co-workers, good classmates? Is there anything about our liberty that challenges someone else's liberation? I hear God asking us, how does your liberty impact the liberty of others? I hear God asking, are you living a life that liberates others, that sets other people free? If we are to be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all, then we must trust the liberty found in the law. We must ask God to free us for joyful obedience. We must live lives that liberate others. We don't have a great track record of this as a nation, but today is a perfect day to begin again. Today is a perfect day to become one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.